All right, before we get off and running, I want to talk to you about Harrah's Auction Casino, the resort, the casino. And next month, Foreigner is in concert. And yes, I am going to be there. You know, Iron Man, I probably should have asked for Urgent or Jukebox Hero or anyone. I've been waiting for a girl like you. How many of us back in the day didn't want to slow dance to meet a girl like you? I've been waiting for a girl like you. Oh. Yeah, so it's at Harrah's. Harrah's is a great spot to go get away from it all. You're right down in Maricopa, Southern Dunes Golf Course, around the corner. You can go play some golf, hang out at the casino resort. They have Caesars Rewards. Caesars Rewards is a big deal. That's why when I said, you know what, Harrah's Auction, Caesars, I'm all in. They're one of our partners. We love what they are all about. Great food, great entertainment, lots of fun. August 13th, Foreigner, I'm going to be there. You should too. That's at Harrah's Auction Casino in Maricopa.
Now, the Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Great Monday. Had a terrific weekend. My wife and I went to the Diamondbacks event, Evening on the Diamond, on Saturday. We were invited by Jeff Mishi, CEO, president of Desert Financial. Very nice of him. We had a bid card. We had all that stuff. And it was fun. So for a great cause, the community impact report of the Diamondbacks was down on the field. Andy Grammer, they flew Andy Grammer in. And at the end of the night, Andy Grammer did his thing. It was great food. Alec Thomas sat at our table. Brought his girlfriend along with him. They're high school sweethearts. Although she's a couple of years older. I like that. And she was cool. And had a great time with Jeff Mishi and his wife and my wife and the whole table. Saw Randy Johnson for a few minutes. Chatted up with him. Gonzo came over, visited. Ken Kendrick was there. The whole team. And the bidding, like they had this Taylor Swift package, private jet, and all this down in New Orleans. And yeah, it got to about $80,000, and no, I never bid on it, so it's not in my league. We had a great time, though. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always, and through the years, that is Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate their ongoing support. Wilner Hotline. John Wilner will chop it up with me today. We're going to get deep into the weeds about the future of Grand Canyon University. Got some opening thoughts here on it. We will be joined by Chrissy Floyd as well, talking about the NFL draft. Chrissy will be with us with USA Today and other outlets. I want to talk with her about Jaden Daniels. She covered Jaden down at LSU. Of course, we had Jaden here. The draft is 3-4 weeks away. We'll talk with Chrissy. That comes up after John Wilner. You know, Friday night, I watched GCU take apart St. Mary's. And if you're a U of A fan, you're like, well, why aren't you leading with us? Because you did what you're supposed to do. Okay? Enough of your whining. Enough. You did what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to go out in the first weekend. It's not even supposed to be a challenge for you. Oh, you're not giving us our respect, our problem. No. From all I've heard from you for the last 24 years since you've won anything, it's, you don't like us. No, you're supposed to win it all. So anything short, why should I lead off with, man, well, boy, did U of A look, well, they're supposed to. If you're going to be the arrogant group that you pretend to be, that you have it all figured out, even though you haven't won a thing in a long time, opening weekend, you might as well not even watch the games, man. Not a challenge. We are going to the Final Four. Okay. It's fine. Grand Canyon went out on Friday night, and they basically controlled their game against St. Mary's. St. Mary's is not nearly as, was nearly as physical as deep. It's a program with a great coach. Randy Bennett does a great job. They were not in that same class. It was a bad matchup for them. So GCU being a 12 against the 5 St. Mary's, that was not a surprise at all, any way, shape, or form. I found myself watching what GCU was doing on national television and understanding that behind the scenes you have people that are well-connected and well-regarded, and the Grand Canyon spends a ton of dough in marketing. They do. That's nothing to be ashamed of. They do. You see Grand Canyon spots all across the country. When they show Jerry Colangelo sitting in the stands, that's not by accident. The people at the truck for CBS are told where he is sitting. That is credibility times 20. So I found myself holding this in my hand, and for some reason, I just decided, you know what? I've about had enough of Arizona State. About had enough of the incompetence and the arrogance and the just not getting it done. And I don't know where it was. I just was, if Bobby Hurley had the type of infrastructure and support top to bottom, like they have at Grand Canyon University, Bobby would win big at Arizona State, but he doesn't. The president doesn't care. The president says he cares. The president did a column with the state press that was laughable. Like, I don't even know how to explain it. I'm reading it, and first of all, he actually said, hey, women's basketball lost $6 million. Okay, that's like, yeah, we're going to cut some sports here pretty soon. Let's not forget, Michael Crow was in the middle of the wrestling program getting cut. Anthony Robles and company, back until Art Martori and Jerry came along. This guy's cut sports before. So when he goes to the state press and says stuff that is just nonsensical, trying to talk about how, you know, we're reinventing athletic models. Yeah, you know, the pro model, you were all about that, and that didn't go so well. You're all about reinventing media with the Pac-12 Network, and that didn't work. So I was starting to back away from this thing while the game is going on, but it just became more and more apparent to me, like, all the cutaway shots of how much energy, enthusiasm that the fan base, not only did CBS have shots of the arena, they had shots of the arena in Phoenix. Like, yeah, we're going to go all in on this. And Bryce Drew was asked after they beat St. Mary's Saturday, the in-between day, he was asked about how things are going and building the program. And I'm paraphrasing here, but he referred to, yeah, we're already way down the road in the transfer portal with some very talented players for next year. You notice how you never hear about how much money is coming out of the transfer portal to GCU players. You ever notice, like, I don't know how much Bryce Drew is being paid. You notice that none of that is out there. That all of it is kept on the down low, and it's just handled, and so he doesn't leave. Like today, Stanford hired Kyle Smith from Washington State. I'm sure it's a great hire. And look, the job that he did at Washington State, why would you not leave Washington State and go to Stanford? That's what that job has become. But you can't tell me someone like Bryce Drew isn't sitting there doing his thing, and there's an athletic director or a search firm or a headhunter for some university who can't figure it out, and isn't saying, hey, can you get me on the phone to that guy? It's so bad here in Phoenix with what's going on at ASU, and it's not Bobby's fault. There's that side of the street that says, you know, to me, it's very clear that Crow doesn't care about athletics compared to academics. Well, college is about academics. Oh, what are you doing? Don't you understand what college is about? That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, give me, sorry that we're in this society. If you don't like sports, that's your fault. Why are you watching me right now? Okay? We're in a society where when you show the fan base at Grand Canyon University, not just in the building at Spokane, but also back in Phoenix, going crazy and bananas, they don't do that for the math student. They don't do that for the English. They don't do that for the poli-sci major, the watershed management major. They don't. So if you want to recruit students, hey, that looks kind of fun to go there. When you have Charles Barkley and Kenny Smith and Clark Kellogg, and they're all sitting there and they're chopping up talking about the Grand Canyon University Lopes, and they're doing bits like, you ever been to the Grand Canyon and all this stuff, you can't buy that type of publicity for your university. So when you have clueless Michael sitting over here, like, And it's fine that ASU is here, but we're never going to see a basketball program. If you're going to compare it to Vanderbilt and Stanford and Northwestern, yeah, Northwestern made it this year. They're never going to win it. Well, Bobby made it last year. What do you complain? This should be an annual thing. Like, I'll even go to U of A on this one. You are a U of A basketball fan. You know, and I know, that the atmosphere in Tucson compared to the atmosphere at GCU is not close. It's not. Oh, you're picking on our school. No, I'm factually pointing it out. Next time, how often do they show U of A? Oh, well, we go to Las Vegas every year. You're going to show up in Los Angeles. I get it. But you're not going to be nearly as rabid. Well, this is why I get it from ASU. Well, you know, the teachers over there, they incentivize the students to go. Yeah, smart. Keep trying to find ways to defend a brand that's not good. It doesn't mean that it can't be good. And it doesn't mean that Bobby's not the right guy. Bobby is the right guy. And U of A fans are saying, keep preaching it, Brad, because we beat him in all day long. If you were dealt with the cards that he's been dealt with, I mean, it's not good, and he's just trying to hang in there. So the GCU future, I want to talk to Wilner about that in a minute. I had a vote today for the Wooden Award. The Wooden Award is a top college basketball player, and there are two Valley players that were on the ballot today. Jerron Holmes at Dayton, he was at Millennium High School, and Reeves, the guard at Kentucky, he was at Shadow Mountain. And both of them are in the top 10. And I get the, well, why doesn't Bobby, or why can't we keep these kids at home? Because you don't have the infrastructure financially to do it. I would not be surprised if Jerron Holmes, you know, as a junior, there's a couple ways he could go. He could stay at Dayton. He could go into the NBA draft. I wouldn't be surprised if he showed up at GCU. Would not be surprised in the least. Because they're going to go after dudes, and they're going to be able to now, because they're going to show it. And they're not going to stay in the whack. For those that go to the total desperation card of, well, they play in a lousy conference, that's one that's going to change too. I'll get into that with Wilner. Kim Mulkey at LSU, and I'm running out of time in this segment, but for her to threaten the Washington Post with legal action, I watched a lot of the women's game over the weekend, Paige Buchers at Connecticut, Juju Watkins, Caitlin Clark, watched all of them. I'm going to watch Caitlin Clark tonight. It's on my viewing schedule. The women's game's in better shape than the men's game. It is. I'm going to talk to Wilner about that. The Diamondbacks opener is this Thursday. The NFL owners' meetings are going on down in Orlando. They're debating things like how to change the kickoff rule. They're debating 17. I'm not even exaggerating. They're debating 17 rule changes to their game. 17. So, all right. Wilner is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, John Wilner with us for a couple of minutes. We were talking off air. There is a lot to get to. So I have, and of course you can find John at Wilner Hotline and on the website. He's on social. He's everywhere, none better than the great John Wilner. We're down to 16. So I think I want to start there unless you want to go another direction. I do not want to dictate to you, John. What is in your wheelhouse you just want to whack out of the ballpark after the opening weekend of March Madness or college athletics?
Boy, great. Great place. We could start outside the 16 with those Grand Canyon lopes if you want, right? I mean,
what is your view? Okay, what is your view, Nash? You're a national guy, all right? National big voice, John Wilner. This is probably your first deep experience in watching them, I would think. I mean, you've probably watched them from a distance, right? Yeah. Is that fair?
That's fair. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I certainly tracked them during the season. Yeah.
Right. No, you wrote about them a little bit, but you watch the program, you see the fan base, you see the whole package. They've wanted to be Gonzaga all the way back to where the campus. I remember walking around the campus, and President Mueller actually offered me a job as the Dean of Fine Arts back in 2010. We're just walking around. GCU was known then as Grand Construction University because everything was torn up, right? So now that you've seen it and you've took it in, John, what do you think?
There are some similarities with Gonzaga in terms of, you know, what was Gonzaga 25 years ago, right? You got a private school, which gives you a lot of flexibility with admissions and resource spending, right? They're clearly... they want to be good. in men's basketball. And that's the most important thing. And they have the resources to do it right now. We can get into the profit, nonprofit piece if you want, but the bottom line is it's a private school that wants to be good at basketball and is investing in basketball and is now starting to reap the rewards, right? That's their third trip to the NCAA tournament in the 10 years they've been D1. They've got Colangelo, obviously, working for them. I don't want to say they looked pretty good against Alabama because that game was kind of ragged. But you can
kind of ragged.
Yes. They looked very good against St. Mary's. They were different level athletically from St. Mary's, right? Phoenix is a place a lot of kids are going to want to play in Phoenix because the weather and all that. What they don't have, the difference between them and Gonzaga, I see the main difference is Gonzaga is in a one horse town, right? Spokane is the entire community is about Gonzaga. Grand Canyon basketball lost in the shuffle that is the massive Phoenix sports market, right? So they don't have that piece, but they have enough to do in the WAC what Gonzaga has done in the WCC. And that gets you on the fast track to the tournament. If you're in the tournament, like we saw this weekend, you've got a platform to raise your profile, right? I would imagine that Bryce Drew's going to have a lot more options for guys in the transfer portal this spring than he did last spring, just because they won that first game and then they played Alabama, right? It's a lot of it's about your profile. If you've got the institutional support, which they do, then raising your profile can get you to the next level quickly. And it's an interesting contrast to the situation down the road in Tempe, right? You're shaking your head.
Let me go back on a couple of things, okay? You're right from a distance about this being a busy sports market. But here's what I would say, being in the middle of it. They've separated themselves because they've created this environment with the Havocs, and they have this very clean, neat arena that you walk into. And so they have distinguished themselves as must-see here in the Valley. It's not like, look, the Coyote fans will get mad at me, but all I've been hearing for 20 years down here is the Coyotes want a new arena, and they change uniforms, and you know it's the same stuff over and rinse, repeat. Over to Arizona State, to your point, you see these nice coaches that come and go, and they get chewed up, they get spit out, they get beaten down. Bobby Hurley's not one of those guys. He's sticking in there. But for anybody who defends the ASU brand, who's not on the points and pension plan, meaning they're on the payroll over there, I don't want to insult those folks, but they have to look in the mirror and say, what is wrong with us? Because
yeah,
the arena set it apart. John, I went and saw them against San Diego State, and Brian Dutcher walks out, the coach at SDSU, and he walks out right before tip-off for the first time and sees the Havocs. So he just looks over at me. I'm closest to the bench. He just kind of shakes his head and chuckles like, what have I gotten myself into?
Yeah.
So they've created an environment. Bryce Drew, to your point about getting talent, was asked on Saturday about how things are going and building the program, and he said, we're already way down the road in this year's transfer portal. We're on some really good players. He's wide open about it. They're not just coaching. And they found guys that you saw on this roster from, yeah, Kansas and Oregon, but also Georgia State. Colin Moore's from Georgia State.
Yeah.
So it's not like they're getting the best of the best. And yes, having Jerry alongside quietly behind the scenes, I might add. What I think for them in the WAC, I believe that as you and I have talked about programs and conferences shifting, I believe that they were this close with Gonzaga to going into the Big 12. I believe that. And I believe that there is still going to be, as we go through all of this, the movement that GCU is going to sit there, because here's what they can do. Hey, CBS, we're going to buy a whole bunch of ad time. Hey, conference, we're going to buy a whole bunch. GCU is one of the big spenders across the country in private education. They market the heck out of it. So they can bring a big billfold to any conference that they go to. In Gonzaga, I think as time has gone on, I don't believe that they're as happy as they once were in that conference. And you wrote about it. Mark Few's done a tremendous job. Bryce has done a tremendous job. He's going to have options, but you never hear about what Bryce Drew makes. You never hear about how much money they're spending in the transfer portal. Arizona State, all you hear about is how they don't have enough money in the transfer portal. All you hear about Arizona State is seeing DJ Horn at North Carolina State or Warren Washington or just all the guys that Bobby had here and he couldn't keep because he has no NIL. So, and President Crow doesn't care. He doesn't care, no matter what his defenders say. So the GCU brand, I think where it is right now, in the first 5 years, they were on probation. Remember, they couldn't even go into the tournament the first 5 years. So as you look at where they are now in the WAC, I don't believe they enjoy playing Tarleton State. I don't believe that. I don't believe they like playing Cal Baptist every year. I believe that they have much bigger eyes and are already with Jerry's vision and his connections at the NCAA looking at movement and saying, you know what, we can be pretty darn good in a basketball conference with Gonzaga along our side.
Well, they could. And certainly, you know, Big 12 Commissioner Brett Yormark is still trying to find a way to get Gonzaga into the Big 12, right? He believes that men's basketball is undervalued and Gonzaga could add something to the Big 12 in that regard. So maybe Grand Canyon could accompany them. The fact, I'm not sure how the presidents, this is the issue, or Grand Canyon could go into the WCC to replace Gonzaga if the conference loses Gonzaga.
They've tried, John, they've tried.
I know. Oh, I know.
These university presidents don't want anything to do with the Phoenix, and you can get in for half the cost. They don't want any part of that.
That's the big issue, is the acceptance of Grand Canyon institutionally.
Sure.
Right? By these conferences and by the other presidents. But boy, you know, money talks, and we have seen many, many instances where university presidents, you know, they draw a line in the sand, and then they are happy to jump over it when it's there's dollars on the other side, right? And so we'll see how things play out. I wouldn't rule it out that Grand Canyon eventually ends up in a different conference than the WAC in the next year or two, because there's going to be so much shuffling that takes place. But it's a fascinating situation to watch, and they certainly, you know, they are outgrowing the WAC very quickly.
No, that's a good way to put it. John Wilner with us for a couple of minutes, chopping it up as we do on Mondays. You can find him at Wilner Hotline over on X, social platforms, and of course, as part of what we do at sports360az.com. You're around, John and I chop it up, because college sports never, ever sleeps.
Like the NFL, every week there's something.
There's something. Arizona, what did you make out of the Wildcats first weekend?
Yeah, look good. Look good. And getting contributions from different players, right? I mean, Boswell had that big game. I thought that that first game, the first 5 minutes of the first half, first 5 minutes of the second half, given what happened last year, crucial that they have good starts for confidence. You know, Boswell really played well. And then Love picked it up in the next game. You know, they're getting contributions from a lot of guys. They don't look burdened by the Princeton loss. Mm-hmm. I think they are going to smoke Clemson. You know, I watched Clemson. That's not, they're not in the same class as Arizona. And that would set up what could be the game of the tournament, right? Arizona, Carolina in LA for a trip to the Final Four, the Caleb Love game. I think that that is inevitable at this point. I think both teams will win handily on Thursday in LA and set up that 1-2 matchup.
We are rooting for that. We're not.
Oh, be great.
We are not supposed to root, right?
It'd be great.
But we find ourselves rooting.
Yeah, I picked Arizona to make the Final Four. I think that they have the issues that plagued them the last 2 years. I think they have solved on the roster. They are tougher. They are quicker. They are better on the perimeter. And I think that it's a lot like 1994 for Arizona, and that could some of your viewers could wonder what the heck's he talking about. But right, if you remember 1994, Arizona had lost in the first round the previous year as a number 15. They lost to Steve Nash in Santa Clara. They blew a big lead in the second half, just like they blew a big lead against Princeton last year. They came into the 1994 tournament with these demons. Lute had changed the personnel a little bit and made them faster, quicker on the perimeter. And they were much better suited for March. They went to the Final Four. To me, there's some historical parallels between what Lloyd has done with this roster and what Lute did 30 years ago.
Okay, so you believe U of A will beat Clemson, and you believe Carolina will handle Alabama, or will that be much of a game?
No, I think they'll handle them. Alabama, right, as we saw in that Grand Canyon game, ragged. Alabama's not very good defensively. They could score, but Carolina is actually much better than it has been defensively. I could see Arizona and Carolina both winning by double digits. And set, boy, that'll be a terrific game on Saturday.
I want to switch over to something in the business side of sports. You and I like to get deep into the weeds on this, and this involves the NFL. Their owners' meetings are going on. I talked to some people down there off air. They are of the opinion that media-wise, we are headed towards the NFL putting the Super Bowl on pay-per-view and streaming. You know, that you're going to have to stream and you're going to have to pay in order to get that. Do you believe that March Madness and the NCAA brands as we know them right now, college football playoff, all of that are going to go the same direction?
Eventually, I think all of it's going to be on streaming. All sports will be on streaming. It'll be. I don't know how quickly that's going to happen. I think I saw Roger Goodell saying something like, not in my lifetime or not during my tenure will that happen with the Super Bowl. But it's going to happen, right? I mean, we are moving. The media landscape is moving towards sports on streaming. Whether it happens in 3 to 5 years or more like 10 to 12 years, though, for the big events, that's, to me, a big question. Certainly March Madness will be on streaming in the 2030s. I just don't know if it'll be there in the 2020s, right? Mm. I mean, there's still a lot of value in the, you know, not only audience, the scope of your audience, but also the revenue for broadcast television for both events.
I found myself over the weekend watching the women's games, and I watched Inescu and I watched Caitlin Clark, and I found myself, or Paige Buchers, I should say, not Inescu, Paige Buchers, Caitlin Clark. And then yesterday I watched LSU at great lengths and interest, obviously, because their coach decided to make a big deal out of the Washington Post.
Yeah. Okay. Great publicity for the Post.
Right. I don't want this story to come out, but oh, by the way, I'm going to make a big deal out of it. So they just sold a whole bunch of papers. Did you find yourself watching the women's game at all?
I watched some of the Stanford game last night after the men's games were over. And certainly I've been monitoring how the Pac-12 teams are doing this weekend, you know, and they're doing very well. The women's game has got something that the men's doesn't, right? Which is
stars.
Big stars.
Yep,
personalities. They are staying at their schools, right? The men's game is so transactional these days with the transfer portal and NIL. There's very little attachment of name to school, right? Because they're jumping around or they're going to the NBA. The college game, I mean, I'm trying to think, when was the last time the college game, probably Zion, right? The last time the college game had a guy who everybody knew, right? And was must see TV. It's missing that. I think the men's game is missing a lot of things. I think men's the tournament is incredible. And we see that every year. It is incredible. But for 5 months, the men's game has problems. And one of those problems is the lack of stars because of the transfer portal and the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, I find myself watching Zach Edey, to your point, and I know him only because the media has made such a big deal out of being his height. That's the only thing.
Yep.
I watch Caleb Love out here, and if he hadn't been at North Carolina, he would just be another very nice player who's at U of A. But because he was at North Carolina, he gets blown up. Filipowski at Duke, sure. But I think you make a very valid point about the star power. While I'm watching Angel Reese yesterday, I haven't seen Angel Reese this year. I've heard all about her. She waves goodbye to the players. She fouls out and like, what are you doing? Come on now. Buchers just now she goes without the ball. Caitlin Clark's teammates are fun to watch. The fan base at Iowa looks like the fan base at Grand Canyon University. Very, very diehard, packed building. No, I think it's fair. And John, I thought Saturday was a historic moment for the women's game. You had big ABC. This wasn't ESPN2 or ESPNU. You had big ABC for the first time do the women's tournament with back-to-back stars. I'm really interested to see what the numbers will show, TV ratings. But for big ABC to say, we're going to go all in on the women's game like that, that was a breakthrough, I think.
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt that it is next level, right? I mean, when Sabrina Ionescu was playing for Oregon 4 or 5 years ago, she was a big star, right? She had like LeBron was part of her whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's now next level. She kind of set the stage, Bukers and Clark. So we'll see if it translates to, right? When Caitlin Clark leaves Iowa and becomes the first pick in the WNBA draft. So what is the game going to look like next year? I think that's what we need to see is there staying power for the women's basketball brand with mainstream sports fans after Caitlin Clark's gone, or are we going to see a little bit of a step back?
Yeah, Juju Watkins, Cameron Brinksley.
Juju Watkins, yeah, I mean, could be the next one, right? I mean, she's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And you're seeing them on the commercials. That helps too, right? Because they're now legally allowed to do the commercials. You can see Clark on, what is it, State Farm? And I think Watkins is on AT&T. Not sure I've got them straight, but that's different too. And that helps promote women's basketball as well.
Yeah. The fact that you and I are taking a segment to talk about it means it's crossing into the stream, which back in the day, I was told you don't do women's sports. I wrote about this over the weekend. The great Paula Bovin, I used to have her on Monday nights. Radio guy walks down the hall. Why do you have a woman on the air?
Yeah.
Annie Myers Drysdale, I've been having on the air for years and years and years. And when people talk about the greatest women basketball players, Annie should be at the top of the list on the Mount Rushmore. But instead they go, it's fine. It's just the depth of it. And she's okay with it. But they go right to Cheryl Miller and just skip her over. I had Annie on a couple weeks ago. She said the NCAA still isn't compliant with Title IX. She's out there fighting for women's rights.
It's an issue. But the women's tournament, you know, should it be a separate deal, separate TV package, part of a bigger package? You know, is it going to spin off units like the men's tournament? All those things will play out over time, right? But it is clearly at a different level. And part of that's because there's been an opening, right? The men's game has lost a little bit of its relevance during the regular season. I think the women's game is taking advantage of that and moving in that space.
Anything else in your wheelhouse? We want me to kick you out of here. John has to go because he has the air conditioning guy coming.
But no, you know, I'm trying to remember. We can never forget football, right? And college football playoff. I don't think we talked about this last week. But they have established the playoff revenue piece for 2026 and beyond. And it's important. And it's important for Arizona State. It's important for Arizona because the Big 12 has been cast to the second tier, right? Along with the ACC, a big gap between the Big 10 and the SEC and what they're going to make from the playoff and the other leagues. And it's just another example of where we are headed with college football, where the SEC and the Big Ten are dictating the terms of the sport to everybody else. And it's great for Arizona and ASU to be in the Big 12, right? There's a lot of benefits. But
no, it's not. They should be in the Pac-12.
Well,
come on, John. I know.
Well, if everything had worked out, certainly they'd still be in the Pac-12. But we are seeing the bifurcation of this sport, the Big Ten and the SEC taking total control of how it's run and the revenue, and it's going to put the Big 12 at a competitive disadvantage. So that's just wanted to put that out there because we didn't get to it. That got lost amid all the college basketball stuff, but there is still tons going on.
As always. John has to leave, so I'm going to kick him out of here. It's good seeing you, John. You're all fired up today. I like a fired up John Wilner.
You know what? The Houston Texas A&M game was that got me fired up last night.
I could have taken the State Press article of Dr. Crow and just read it verbatim with John line by line, and we would have sat here and just ripped it to shreds. But no, I wanted to stick to basketball.
Okay, well, you're driving the bus here. I'm happy to do an entire. We can do an entire segment on that. That article and on what Crow's approach. I read that article three times and I still don't know what he's talking about.
I'll see you later. Okay, there's John Wilner, and we're back with more after this timeout. All right. I wanted to have Chrissy Floyd on with us because we had Chrissy on during Brock Purdy's run. I really liked her work. She's with the USA Today Group, SMG, and A to Z Sports NFL Draft Analyst. She takes in quarterbacks, looks at them through a different lens, different voice, different feel, And I want to have her on just on Jaden Daniels to start with, because you're near him at LSU. You were, right?
In what you're
down in that part of the country, right? Doing your work.
Yeah, I'm currently in New Orleans and went to LSU. So we got there shortly after the Joe Burrow era, whenever I was over there.
And so when we saw him at Arizona State, and then he ends up going down to LSU, he needed a change of scenery from my view here. The locker room was against him, very talented player. I'm just curious, when you covered him, Chrissy, and you saw him, what was it that struck you about him going at LSU and now getting ready for the draft?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing about him is that I covered him at Arizona State remotely for a long time before I covered him at LSU. And it was funny because I was actually really pushing Jaden Daniels for quite a while, but it seemed like he was unable to score through the air. And there's a lot of different things that can come down to. But I question whether it was the offensive scheme that had something to do with it, or if it was just his lack of ability on its own. And so he was kind of in everyone's top 10, and then over time throughout the season began to fall and kind of completely fell off the radar. I did not think he was going to be the best quarterback in the room at LSU whenever he transferred. And based on Brian Kelly's comments initially, it didn't sound like he did either. And so the biggest thing was, I mean, I thought that he had the athleticism. I thought he had the ability to do things with his legs, but it was the question of if he could come together as a true dual threat quarterback. And I think in a lot of capacities in the second year, he did. It's just a question of whether or not that final year at LSU is more of a flash in the pan and kind of a result of like some of the things that happened there. But I mean, at the same time, whenever we're looking at that argument, I think whenever we look at LSU over the past two seasons, that there were so many games that LSU would not have had a chance to even stay in if it were not for the talents of Jaden Daniels. So I think that he has brought himself to be a quarterback who is a true dual threat quarterback. It's just a matter of, can he maintain that level of play that he did this final season? Because I thought the season before, there were still some things to work on from a pure mental processing and passing perspective. Can he take this one year, which I believe is his one solid, truly good year, and then make the transition to the NFL and keep that rolling? And that is my biggest question.
I think when he came to Arizona State, Chrissy, I remember talking to Herm Edwards and Antonio Pierce. We were in Las Vegas for the Vegas Bowl, and he was still in high school. And it's, this kid is so raw. And then when we saw him on the field, it's the old line of, you pour tomato juice and someone turn him sideways, they're a thermometer. You know, he was so thin and so slight. And then you just started to see the progress year to year to year to year. And to me, watching him this year at LSU, the progress was big improvements. There was turmoil here at Arizona State behind the scenes. I think that impacted him. There wasn't the most talent to work with. I think that impacted him. And at LSU, it felt like everything fell into place. Did you see it the same way?
Yeah, I think so. And I think that as far as like the second year goes, that I think that there were some issues that he had kind of within the offensive line and just some other things in the supporting cast that I think he actually and then the shortcomings on defense that we hadn't really seen over recent years at times in some of these games. I think especially like that game against Ole Miss. I mean, I look to games like that and it's like, if you didn't have Jaden Daniels doing what Jaden Daniels was doing, are you even in that position to contend? The answer is no.
Yeah. If you're sitting here today chopping it up with me as we are, where do you have him in terms of the top four quarterbacks?
I'd say I put him at about four. I think that I like Drake May better. I think I like J.J. McCarthy better. I think I like Caleb Williams better.
In what way?
I just think that these are higher floor prospects that have proven themselves to be more consistent over a longer period of time. I would take J.J. McCarthy as the quarterback who, I mean, he has – the game manager label. And I think when it, just like Brock Purdy, when it comes to quarterbacks, that we need to appreciate the floor before we do the ceiling. And especially with a guy like J.J. McCarthy, he has the athleticism, he has the arm strength, he has shown flashes of being able to do a lot more than he was asked to in the Michigan offense. And a lot of these game manager types, so we call them that, they are managing the game in an offense that is asking them to simply do what they're doing. They're not asking them to be a hero. They're not asking them to use their legs all the time. So they have all these traits sometimes that they're not being asked to use, but that does not mean that they don't have them. It's a very simple concept, and I don't understand why people don't understand that. But in those same offenses, we see quarterbacks that can execute the basics. So at worst, that's what that quarterback is always going to be, if they're simply always asked to manage the game. I think that Jaden Daniels has the ability to do more than manage the game, but I think there have been times that he has struggled with managing the game in general, in the past, kind of like at Arizona State. Some of it might have been the offense. But I think that those other quarterbacks like Caleb Williams, like J.J. McCarthy, like the other guys that I mentioned, I think that they've done just a better job over a long period of time. And then I think that they have a higher floor in general. And I would have liked to have seen Jaden Daniels in college a little bit longer if that would have been possible. But obviously it's not.
Chopping it up with Chrissy Freud for a couple of minutes, NFL draft analyst, USA Today, SMG, and A2Z Sports. I saw this morning, you may have seen it as well, down at the NFL meetings where Sean Payton said he's not worried about finding the quarterback. I think Antonio Pierce with the relationship with Jaden Daniels and the Raiders sitting there, really interesting to me because I know how big of a fan Pierce is of Jaden. The Bears, the Commanders, the Patriots, all needing quarterbacks. How do you think this shakes out? I know we have a month to go, Chrissy, but we're sitting here today. How does it shake out? Is it as simple as Caleb goes to the Bears, Brad, the Commanders are going to take May, and McCarthy's going to go to the Patriots, and then the Cardinals are going to trade out of four? What do you see happening?
I don't see the Cardinals trading out. I know there have been reports. I mean, you can take the reports for all that you want to, but the Cardinals have, quote unquote, zero interest of trading out of that spot. I think the Cardinals have a lot of big holes to fill beyond the quarterback position. I think that it's in their best interest to stay right there and to go get Marvin Harrison Jr. I think it's something that in this position that you simply don't move out of, and I think that it's in their best interest to do so.
Okay, the three teams in front of them, do you see the quarterbacks all being slotted that way as it's being mocked right now? Or are the wild cards out there like Minnesota, like Oakland, like Denver, that could be the big shakeup? And who's the guy that they would all be going after?
Yeah, I think that you would look at someone like Drake May. I mean, I think that as far as like the quarterback race, that would be where they would want to go. But at the same time, this is such a stacked quarterback race that I believe that it's not really in anyone's best interest to move up. Because, I mean, when I start going down the list, like into the names like Bo Nix and then all the way down toward deeper, like maybe like a Michael Pratt or something, I see a lot of guys with a lot of high upside for some of these teams. And it really is such a deep class. And in that case, I don't really see a chance, a reason to move up, but I think the way that they're slotted right now, there's always a surprise every year, so we'll see where it ends up happening. But I think that the way they're slotted right now, I would expect it to remain the same, and I think that it is in all of those teams' best interest for it to stay the same, but there'll be no such thing as a draft bust or like some of the worst moves of all time and stuff if people did what was in their best interest, and hindsight is 2020, so we'll see.
Okay, so we have to finish with the obvious, the 800-pound elephant in the room. When you and I first chopped it up, could you have ever imagined the Brock Purdy story going the way that it did? Could you have ever imagined it, Chrissy?
I did, because I know who Trey Lance is as a quarterback. It's the same evaluation process I'm talking about. Remember, high floor, question the ceiling later. Trey Lance didn't know what the hell the floor was ever going to be. Ceiling, super high. Traits-based quarterback, has a lot of things to like about him. But Brock Purdy had all of the basics and all of the very best ways, and I thought had all the intangibles. And at the end of the day, he might not be the biggest guy, might not be the fastest guy. I think he does have some underrated athleticism. That's another story. But I think that at the end of the day, he is everything, the basis of what you need a quarterback to be. And when you have the basis of what you need a quarterback to be, you get to the Super Bowl. So, yeah, I think that there's a lot of things that happened and worked out in his favor that maybe defied the odds when you're going against like someone like Trey Lance, who is so highly touted. It's the same thing with Stetson Bennett and JT Daniels over at Georgia. I mean, these things just happen from time to time. But yeah, I mean, looking from a pure evaluation perspective, I am not the least bit surprised that Brock Purdy, when given the opportunity that he deserved, managed to get in the situation. I'm not.
So you and I are right there, because I saw him in high school and it was just, why is everybody sleeping on this kid? And he came up to me at a National Football Foundation event that I was emceeing, and Brock said to me, looked me right in the face afterwards, says, "Mr. Sesmat, what community college do you think I should be looking at? Because I got nothing right now." And I hugged that kid, Chrissy, because I don't get that very often. It's usually I'm being slept on. It's usually everybody doesn't know what I'm. So to see where he is now, I knew that he had game in him. Obviously, I didn't know. Nobody could say, oh, yeah, he's going to be quarterback in the Super Bowl, but. Yeah. But it's a heck of a good story. It makes what you do a lot of fun. Makes what I do a lot of fun, too, when we see it hit like that.
Yeah, I got an email from, I think it was someone, it may have been Chris Hassel at CBS. We were DMing on Twitter, and he was like, yeah, I told my producer the only person I could find in the entire country that said that Brock Purdy was going to be exactly what he was. So Sounds like it's just the two of us, but it's really awesome. I mean, when you take a chance on a guy that's Mr. Irrelevant as an analyst, I mean, you don't know like how good or how dumb you're going to look in the long term. You just think that you do. And so it's been really rewarding. I mean, that's what's on my wall right over there.
I see it. I like it. I like it. I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time and insights. Thanks, Chrissy.
Thank you.
And we're back with more after this timeout.